Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Hey everyone, this is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and I'm your host. The Daily Tour Podcast brings you daily coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California as we ride through California from Sacramento to San Diego over the span of 9 days. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of bicycle.net. For your weekly audio dose of cycling news, culture, interviews, product reviews, and more, listen to the Fredcast. And for more cycling news, product reviews, original bicycling essays, and more, bookmark bicycle.net or subscribe to the RSS feeds. In addition to our Daily Tour Podcast, we'll also be bringing you several video clips each day, compliments of our friends at cyclefilm.com. You can find those clips on our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, here's today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. Welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's David from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and today is Saturday, February the 21st, and it's time for Stage 7 of the Amgen Tour of California. Today's stage will take the riders from Santa Clarita, California to Pasadena, California. It's the exact same route that they rode as the final stage of last year's Tour of California. Today, it's the penultimate stage, Stage 7, the one before the last one. Today's stage is 88.9 miles. There's only one categorized climb, and that's Mill Creek Summit. It's a Category 3, but it is a long climb to the top of Mill Creek Summit. Along the way, they'll go through two tunnels. Last year, you may recall Freddy Rodriguez complaining about that second tunnel because it was rainy and dark as they entered that tunnel, and then a long descent into La Cañada and finally Pasadena, where they will make five finishing circuits of the famed Rose Bowl. Going into today's race, Levi Leipheimer from Team Astana is still atop the field in the general classification at a time of 24 hours, 12 minutes even. Behind him, 36 seconds back from the United States in Garmin Slipstream, it's Dave Zabriskie. And 46 seconds back in third place, it's Michael Rogers from Team Columbia High Road. In fourth, it's Jens Voigt from Team Saxo Bank, 110 back and 129 back. In fifth place is Thomas Lokvist from Team Columbia High Road. In sixth, it's Levi's Astana teammate Lance Armstrong, 146 back, and in seventh, Robert Gesing from Rabobank, 154. At 159, it's Janis Brockovich, also from Astana, and his teammate Chris Horner is sitting in ninth place, 213 back. 215 back in 10th place, it's Francisco Mancebo from Rock Racing. Once again, we had the opportunity to talk to racers and others at the start line today, and we started with Team Saxo Bank. Here is Bobby Julik, a former racer, now in team management from Team Saxo Bank. We asked Bobby how different it is being a part of the team management behind the scenes and not as a racer out in front of the crowds.
It's definitely an experience, definitely learning a lot from this side of the barriers. It's a little bit more difficult because, there's a lot more downtime, but then when you're working, it's a lot more stressful, I think, you know, because you're not only worrying about, you know, doing a good job, but then you're also worrying about the opinion of, you know, 80 of your best friends and trying to help them out. So it's new, but I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to say I'd, you know, jump into the director's car or anything like that, but I like what I'm doing right now.
And we wanted to know, are you sure, Bobby, are you sure it's not frustrating not being out there on the bike and competing?
No, definitely not. I got that all out, all that competitiveness. I don't think I'm ever going to ride my bike fast again in my life, you know, unless I want to. Because, like, watching these guys, it's not at all a feeling of wanting to be out there with them. It's just, like, a feeling of, you know, wanting to make sure that they don't crash and that they're safe and that they're, you know, have the right clothes on and stuff like that. So, no, there hasn't been one single time where I wanted to be out there with them again.
Sometimes you'll hear about a rider who retires and then never gets back on the bike or waits several years before getting back on the bike. And we wanted to know from Bobby, is he riding?
I wish I could ride more, but at the training camps is where the most of my free time was supposed to be, but it turned out to be where the most work was. So I get out there. I went and rode the time trial course with Frank and Andy and Jens in the morning just to kind of give them the inside scoop and to feel the road and, you know, give them some ideas. And I know when I get back to, you know, it's the winter time in where I live, so haven't really been I'm never going to ride in the snow or the rain, that's for darn sure. So it has to be like perfect weather, which, you know, when I go back to France, it'll be pretty nice in Nice.
We've talked a lot this week about the crowds that have been out at the Amgen Tour of California, and we wanted to know from Bobby, with the success of this race, from his standpoint, does he see anything else in the U.S. that might be able to rival or perhaps surpass the Amgen Tour of California?
Well, I think with the financial crisis that we're in right now, we may have to kind of be patient, but, you know, if other states start to see the benefits of putting on a race like this at this magnitude, I think you know, we could have one in Colorado, we could have one in Utah, we could have one, you know, we lost the one in Georgia there, but I think we can, you know, start to have more and more races like this. This is definitely the template, but it's also kind of a hard one to follow.
And that's when someone's car alarm started to go off, and that was the end of the interview. But then when the car alarm stopped, we had an opportunity, albeit a brief one, to speak with Jens Voigt, one of my favorite riders. We just started with a simple question. Jens, after this long tour, how you feeling?
We are good. It's sunny, stage is not too long, shouldn't be too hot, so I'm looking forward to having a good day.
The stage was known last year for creating breaks, and we wanted to know what Saxobank's plans were for those.
I don't know about the brakes because a lot of uphill, so it's basically the legs deciding, and there's not so many people actually can break away. You know, if Astana decides to ride a hard tempo, then you maybe only have 10 riders you're actually able to get away. The rest is just not strong enough anymore by, you know, after all these efforts we have done. So I don't think we will see too many breaks. Astana will be pretty much controlling the race, and I must think there might be still a chance for a bunch kick.
I just want to replay one comment from that short interview with Jens, because I think it's prophetic. And I want you to remember it. So here's this one comment I'm going to replay.
Then you maybe only have 10 riders you're actually able to get away. The rest is just not strong enough anymore.
All right, that's it. I'm not saying anything more. But remember that he made that comment about 10 riders. I'm just saying, remember. For just a little bit more prophecy, we had the opportunity to speak with Jeff Lauder from BMC. Here's what he had to say about what he thought was going to happen in today's stage.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys want to go in the move today. It's really the last chance before tomorrow. You know, tomorrow I think it's going to be more of a GC contender kind of day. So I think a lot of guys see this as their last chance, and a lot of guys had an easier day yesterday, you know, riding-wise. So I think all the teams are going to try to go in the move, and definitely BMC is going to, you know, we're not going to be happy unless we have one, maybe two in the move today. Yeah, we're a team of, you know, solid all-rounder climber types, and and we really don't have anything to lose at this point. We kind of, you know, we don't have a GC really to be concerned with, so just, you know, I think we're all physically prepared, and we just need to go out and be aggressive.
So with all that prophecy, I guess it's time to finally tell you exactly what happened in today's stage. Now, first of all, I have to talk to you about the fans. I know I keep bringing this up, but the crowds keep getting larger and larger. Now, I'm real familiar with this course, as I mentioned yesterday, and so when I got to the Valencia Town Center where the stage started this morning, the crowd was pretty good. It was a couple deep in most places. Certainly, there was a huge crowd around the Astana bus. You just couldn't believe it. They were 15 or 20 deep waiting to see, yes, Levi Leipheimer and, of course, Lance Armstrong and the rest of the team. Just a huge crowd around the bus. But as we pulled out in the race caravan and headed down McBean Parkway, made the right on Newhall Ranch, and then eventually headed out toward Bokeh Canyon, the crowd was everywhere. Every street corner, every sidewalk, there were people on it. And as we headed up into the hills, there were still people. When we got to the top of the climb, there were people. We got to this little town of Acton, there were people. When we got into La Cañada, just in the residential areas, they were 15 deep. And then, of course, at the Rose Bowl, the crowd was huge. Huge. It was a sight to behold. Cycling is certainly really hit its stride here in California. Call it the Lance effect, call it the Levi effect, call it what you like. But the officials are estimating race attendance for the first 8 days to be, get this, 1.7 million people. That's just huge. Well, today was, as I mentioned, the exact same difficult, hilly, and technical course that was used on the final day of last year's race. It opens with a 25-mile, very gradual climb out of Santa Clarita, going through Acton, and then to the intersection of Angeles Forest Road. This took us through the San Gabriel Mountains. And what was interesting was when we got up to Mill Creek Summit, which is about 4,900 feet, the hills were sprinkled with snow, a bit more snow than I've ever really seen up there. And this is the second highest elevation ever reached in the race. Tomorrow we'll have the highest elevation at the top of Mount Palomar. And then from there, they go down a 15-mile twisty, steep descent down the Angeles Crest Highway before going into La Cañada, down to the Rose Bowl, and then five circuits around the Rose Bowl. Now, it started with lots of attacks, individual two-man, three-man breakaways that would go and then get drawn back very, very quickly. And there was no doubt that there was going to be some very aggressive riding, and you knew it. By the time we got into Canyon Country, which was, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 miles into the stage, and we had already dropped 16 riders out the back of the peloton. We'll talk about in a minute the fact that there were a number of riders who simply dropped out. I know that when the broom wagon rolled into Pasadena going around the Rose Bowl, there were three bikes on top, and there were others who climbed into their own team cars. Now, an hour and a half into the stage, a successful attack was launched by Saxobank's Frank Schleck and George Hincappy from Team Columbia High Road. Remember, George won this stage last year. Included with them were another five riders, and Astana took the front of the peloton to try to set pace. By the time the breakaway had reached 48 miles into the race, three more riders had joined, making the break. Does anybody remember the number that Jens predicted? 10 strong. There were 10 riders in the break. It's like Jens Voigt knew something. Included in there were Chris Baldwin from Rock Racing, Peter Wiening from Rabobank, and Addy Engels from Quickstep, Martin Elmiger from AG2R Le Mondial, Marcus Zberg of Team BMC, Christian Vandeveld of Garmin Slipstream, Frank Schleck, George Hincappy, Hayden Ralston from Cervelo Test, and Rinaldo Nocentini from AG2R Le Mondial. This break stayed away all the way into the finishing circuits at the Rose Bowl, and then it was simply a waiting game, and then finally a cat-and-mouse game when a series of tacks occurred in the last couple of laps. Finally, Wiening, Nocentini, and Ralston opened up a gap that was it. There was no way the rest of the other guys were able to organize an attack to get up and bridge to them. And at the end, the three of them were playing cat and mouse in the last lap all the way to the finish line. The winner by literally just barely a wheel length was Rinaldo Nocentini from AG2R Le Mondial, Hayden Ralston from Cervelo Test taking second, and Peter Wiening from Rabobank taking third. 7 seconds later, the rest of the group crossed the line, fourth place going to Marcus Zberg, then Martin Elmiger, Chris Baldwin, George Hincappy, Frank Schleck, Christian Vandeveld, and Andy Engels. Tor Husov came across in 11th place, 2 minutes, 19 seconds back of today's stage leader, Rinaldo Nocentini, along with the rest of the main peloton. The dropped group finally coming across 16 minutes and 6 seconds back. However, riders dropping out today included Mark Renshaw, Francesco Cicci, Jacopo Guarnieri, Stefan Goubert, Thomas Fry, Peter Latham, Luis Romero, Philippe Gaimon, and unfortunately, and really tragically, considering the race that he has had, Francisco Mancebo from Rock Racing went down in a crash and ended up having to be transported to the hospital. According to Rock Racing, he is in stable condition with a concussion. Of course, he will recover. So at the end of today's stage, really no change in the general classification from the way that I read it off at the beginning of today's show. Levi Leipheimer still atop the standings. He's got 36 seconds over Dave Zabriskie and 45 over Michael Rogers. There is certainly a chance that if Zabriskie and Team Garmin Slipstream really put the pedal to the metal, or perhaps if Michael Rogers and Team Columbia High Road do the same, there is always the chance that Levi could be toppled, but so far it is looking like a three-peat for Levi Leipheimer. For our other jerseys, our Herbalife Sprint Leaders jersey currently being held by Mark Cavendish from Team Columbia High Road. Interesting story, by the way, about Mark Cavendish. As he was walking out of his hotel today, I was standing in the parking lot where the team vehicles were located, and as he walked out, he was literally mobbed by fans. The woman standing next to me said, "Who is that?" Her husband looked at her and said, "That's the fastest man in the world." So I thought that was kind of cool. The California Travel and Tourism King of the Mountains jersey, unfortunately, Francisco Mancebo, having crashed out of the race, is no longer holding that jersey. It's now being held by Jason McCartney from Team Saxobank. Our best young rider is still Robert Gesink from Rabobank, and coincidentally, Rabobank is the sponsor of that jersey. And today's Amgen Breakaway from Cancer Most Courageous Rider is Christian Vandeveld. After the stage, we had a chance to talk to Chris Baldwin, who was part of that break, to find out exactly what was going on in the break and what it felt like to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, the most difficult part was making the break. Once you're there, you know, almost every team is represented, so it was actually real cruisy once you got there, but it was very difficult to be in the break because everyone wanted to be there. So.
Obviously, Astana's goal today was to control the peloton and not allow any breaks to get out. So the question is, how did they let this one go?
Actually, it wasn't only Astana. That's what made it so difficult. It seemed like Saxobank and maybe another team as well really didn't want a break to go. And until the sprint, there was a real tight padlock on the entire group, and nothing was working. And it was real frustrating and very fast and very painful. So after the sprint, finally something broke loose, and I think Astana's been working very hard all week, and they actually look very human, and I think they were glad to let a break go, and that was not dangerous. And
the break was definitely kept within a relatively short leash, within just a couple of minutes of the peloton. Was there any fear when they got to the circuits that they would be caught?
Yeah, no, there's never a question in my mind that we wouldn't reach the line at the front. Almost every team, like I said, almost every team was represented, so there was no one left behind to chase. It kind of guarantees the success of the break.
Then at the press conference, we got the opportunity to hear from the most courageous rider, Christian Vandeveld. And make sure you stay tuned because a special surprise rider also showed up at today's press conference. We got to hear from Christian his impressions of today's stage, especially with the massive crowd that was out there on the course around the Rose Bowl.
Well, today was the same stage as last year, so most of us knew the stage, and luckily it wasn't the same weather. It was freezing cold, if you guys remember last year, and we were wondering if we would even be able to do the stage last year. And this year was beautiful weather, and we knew it was going to be aggressive from the get-go, and we wanted to have someone represented in the breakaway, and our team was very aggressive trying to get in there, and as we knew that it would eventually snap. But yeah, the race was super hard, and it took, almost 35, 60, 40 miles until the breakaway finally was established, and that was not fun getting into it. But when we finally got away, it was obviously a really strong group, and we knew it was going to stay away. But yeah, we came back on the circuits, and it was, you know, nice and warm again, and just the fans were unbelievable down there. It was, you know, Frank Schleck came up to me and he said, "Hey, check on my, you know, my chicken skin on my arms," and he just said, you know, goosebumps all over, and it was a neat feeling to be able to race through a throng of fans, kind of like any big Grand Tour stage.
Now, in case you don't know, Christian's daughter was born about 2 weeks ago, and he was asked a question about how difficult it is to come out here and do your job, which is to race your bicycle, when you've really just left your brand new baby girl at home. This is a sweet answer. Here's what Christian had to say.
Yeah, it's been really hard. I mean, I'd be lying if I wasn't, like you said, distracted from the time I've been here till now. And today was one of the first days that I really was focused on the race and had my head in the game. Yeah, well, since the beginning, I've kind of been, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say distracted, but it's been on my mind a lot that I only got to spend 24 hours with her at home, so that was hard to have a new baby that you really don't know so well. And so yeah, I can't wait to get back on the plane to go back home to Chicago and go see her. Her name's Madeline.
It was mentioned that last year Christian was on the podium for this race, and the question was whether or not he would really rather have been a little bit more on his form for this race to repeat that again this year.
Yeah, I think that was a blessing in disguise, in all honesty. I think a lot of times I ride above my level in this, and I really pay the price for weeks to come after this race. And my form isn't as high as it has been in the past, but at the same time, the field is so much stronger than the years past, and the racing that much more aggressive, and the actual course being really, really difficult with more mountains horrible weather for the first 3 days. So, you know, it's been great. I mean, Zabriskie's been riding amazing, so it's fun to support him, and both him and Tom Danielson. So, it's a long season, and sometimes playing a supportive role is, you know, that's my natural habitat anyway. So I like riding there and supporting my team, and then I know that it will come back 180 or 360 degrees later in July.
We then had a surprise appearance at the press conference by one Floyd Landis from Team Ouch. And I think the reason why Floyd was here is because obviously we're headed down to San Diego County tomorrow, an area that Floyd knows very well. He certainly climbs Palomar Mountain often on his training rides. And so I thought I would just play that portion of the press conference in its entirety with the reporter's questions so you can get a feel for what it was like in the room when Floyd Landis appeared.
Floyd, just overall, you know, you won this race back in 2006, coming back on the circuit here, and your impressions of the overall Amgen Tour California this year, what you've seen, crowds, observations, things like that.
No, this year certainly, I think, like every year since 2006 when it started, has been growing, and I was impressed with the dedication of some of the fans the first few days there. It was hard enough to get out and go ride our bikes in that weather, and a lot of people came out and cheered for us, so it was good for the morale. Things have gotten better since, and it's been a very difficult race. I mean, compared to any races you would do in Europe of this length, I can't think of any that would be harder. So hopefully they'll keep the momentum going, and if today was any indication, I think people are happy to have the race come through Pasadena at least.
Questions? Ernest has got them. Mike here.
Floyd, are you not exactly feeling up to par health-wise? Can you give us some details on that?
I haven't raced in 2.5 years, and it was a difficult race to start. We're doing the best we can. I'm a little bit disappointed with how things have gone so far, but I got through it with one little incident where I fell, but no problems there. I landed on my hip, and I'm happy that didn't have any problems with that. And the rest of it, I mean, if you ride around in the rain and the snow, sometimes you don't feel well afterwards. I feel about the same as everybody else, I think.
Floyd, can I ask what you hope to get out of your comeback and where you see it going in the long term?
I've missed bicycle racing. I've spent a large part of my life doing it, and for the last few years, been gone, and it feels good to be back, and I don't know exactly what the long-term goals are at this point. Like in any stage race, it gets to a point where your goals become very short-sighted. Like, for example, now I'm going to go try to find a place to lay down. But hopefully after the race is over, I can reassess what I want out of this.
Floyd, after your operation with the weather, has that had any effect on you at all?
No, my hip, after the resurfacing procedure, is a lot less affected by temperature changes and things like that. The pain before was arthritis type pain, and so the swelling and the pain was often would change with the barometric pressure and weather and things like that. But that's gone now, and so I'm quite pleased that I can race now without having to think about that at all.
Can you tell us a bit about what your tentative calendar is for the rest of the year? Just because of the economy, some of the races in the States here have dried up. Is the domestic schedule going to be enough for you? Do you plan to go to Europe? Do you want to go to Europe? Is there anywhere in Europe that you're afraid you might not be allowed to race?
Our team at this moment, I'm not entirely sure how the team classification system works. We're a continental team. So I don't know what options we would have as far as racing in Europe and things like that. We don't have any plans at the moment. In a few weeks, I'm going to go race in Mexico. But for the most part, the races we do will be here. I certainly don't have any aversion to going racing in Europe, but we don't have any plans to do so right now. And as far as whether I'll be welcome back, it's hard to say. But I haven't spent any time looking into it at the moment. Yeah, I'll say, I guess, same answer. I'm not really sure. I'm still not, after 2 years of trying to figure out exactly how all this works, not clear on a lot of things.
Over here, Floyd, can you talk about what, you know Palomar Mountain better than anybody. What can the Peloton, everybody, expect tomorrow? What do you expect from the race tomorrow when it goes up?
Well, I've never raced up it before. My experience there is usually, well, usually involves having a burrito at the bottom, but probably not going to be able to do that. So once I'm done with my burrito, usually I climb for about an hour. I imagine it'll go a little bit faster than I usually go on my own. We have a few climbs before we get to Palomar. We go past Lake Wolford, and there's a climb that goes up there, but it's not a real long climb. But after a week-long stage race, there's a lot of guys in the Peloton that are tired, and so things split up a lot easier. So it may be a difficult race even before we get to the bottom of Palomar. Once we get there, the climb on Palomar is pretty constant. The first half is probably 5 or 6% grade, and the second half is maybe 8% at the most. And so, yeah, it's as hard a climb as you can find anywhere. And certainly coming at this time in the race will make it an interesting race. Up until this point, Astana has been determined to control the race themselves, and they've done a good job. Tomorrow is a very difficult race, and there's some guys that are very close in the GC. I don't know if they'll be willing to take some chances and risk their place to try to take the win, but I would.
You've been out of racing for about 2.5 years. How does it feel to come back and have the crowd still treat you like a rock star? They've been excited to see you and have come out in groves to talk to you, touch you, get your autograph.
It feels good. I've missed a lot about racing. I never really did it because I wanted a lot of attention. I like bicycle racing for the challenge that it is, and for the experiences that I've gotten out of it and the places I've got to see. But it certainly is certainly touching to come out and have so many people out there cheering for us all. Not just me, everybody, I think, appreciates it. And so, to see that in the United States and this close to home is very satisfying.
So going into tomorrow, can we expect to see another stage 17 type Floyd Landis tear early in the stage?
Well, tomorrow's a good stage for that sort of thing. hopefully you get to see one, whether it's me doing it or not. Somebody should try it. And there's some guys who are very close in the general classification who, if I were in their shoes, I would try to get some time back. I think Levi's team's strong, but they're going to have a hard time controlling the entire race on a stage that hilly. And even after Mount Palomar, there's some very difficult sections. So whether or not I'll be there, it's hard to say. I know the streets very well, so we'll see what happens.
Actually, just to follow up on that, Floyd, it's me again.
In the middle.
Cole Grade, I've heard kind of described as the little trap in this stage that people might not be as familiar with as Palomar. It's steep, short. Could that be another sort of backbreaker that people haven't really discussed?
Yeah, Cole Grade, when I had originally thought about how the race was going to play out, I didn't think it would be that much of a factor in the race. But the way the race played out the first few days, where there wasn't really anybody that got to ride easy race and save energy for later. I mean, everybody on those first rainy days where the Peloton split up spent the same amount of energy as everyone else. And so when everybody's that tired and some guys are less motivated than others because they don't have so much to be gained, and you come to a climb like that, it can do a lot of damage to the Peloton. I don't know how many guys will be together at that point when they even start that climb, but if somebody wants to get some time back there, some damage can be done. It's probably at full speed a 10 or 12 minute climb, and thereafter is a ways to the finish, but it's not flat. It's rolling and some downhill. So if there's a decisive place in the race where somebody wants to get time and doesn't want to try a stage 17 where they go out and ride all day, that would be it. But again, we'll have to wait and to see what plays out and how the peloton looks when they start that climb. But if it goes the traditional way of a stage like that, then that's the climb to try something on if you're a GC guy.
You said you didn't want to talk. You only want to talk about the present and the future, and I think we understand that. I'm just curious, have you found that a lot of people want to talk about the past? Is there anything left to talk about? I mean, are you still getting hounded to talk about the past?
I don't know if I want to answer questions about the past.
And with that question about questions about the past, Floyd Landis left the building. And so there's just one stage left in the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Tomorrow, Sunday, February the 22nd, the riders will race 96.8 miles, including that climb that Floyd just talked about, Sans Burrito, up Palomar Mountain. This will be the highest point ever reached in the Amgen Tour of California at 5,123 feet. Some say this may be the most difficult final stage that the Amgen Tour of California has ever seen. At 11.7 miles and a 7% average grade and 4,200 feet of climbing and, interestingly, 21 switchbacks, I think Palomar Mountain is going to be a very challenging event for the riders. There is always the chance of a change in the GC. There is, of course, also a chance that there would be a change in the KOM. So make sure that you stay tuned to the Daily Tour podcast for the final results of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Until then, so long from Southern California and the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. See you tomorrow. That's it for today's coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, presented by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our videos brought to you by CycleFilm.com, located at www.thefredcast.com. This is your host, David Bernstein, from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. So long from the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, and thanks for listening.